Welcome, everyone, to episode 20 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is March 22nd, 2026. And on today's show, we're going to lose our voices as we chant away with the crowd when our favorite sports teams score those goals, or when our favorite sports heroes do the impossible, or when the outcome we hope for finally becomes reality.
Hello, Aaron, and hello, listeners. This is Kirk. Welcome to today's episode of The Bon Bon Show. Seems my co-host should be a voice actor, ladies and gentlemen, and not introducing The Bon Bon Show, but we'll talk about that when not recording. Today's episode is all about watching spectator sports in Japan. And Aaron and I will talk about our experiences watching sports in Japan and why we think it is awesome. Mm-hmm. Episode 20 of The Bon Bon Show starts now.
Yeah, boy. All right. I think when we think about sports in Japan, I guess it depends who you talk to. I think some people might think of, well, I don't know. I think it depends on the familiarity sports. Okay, let me ask you this question. When you think of Japan and sports, what's the first sport you think of?
Baseball.
Baseball? Yeah. I would have said the same, even though I'm not even a baseball fan. I'm not even like a baseball fan, but just knowing the history of the game and just how intensely the fans are there and just how enjoyable of an experience it is. Yeah, I think baseball is at the top of my mind as well. And
yeah,
I haven't seen
baseball is definitely at the top as well. I feel like there's so many Japanese baseball stars all over the world. And
yes, that's true.
For as long as I have, I feel like this country is obsessed with baseball. Everybody knows or tried or plays or, you know, throws balls and catches. Like it's in everyone owns to me a baseball glove.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. But let's pivot a little bit. I think we both wanted to share some of the sports that we've both seen in Japan, and then we'll kind of break up the show a little bit and talk about some of the sports we've independently seen, I guess, that the other hasn't. So one of the sports that we've both seen in Japan, obviously we haven't been together to see a match. Hopefully that will change in the future. We're definitely going to make this happen, but we wanted to start with football, as some may call it, or as the
Did you want to say soccer?
I don't want to say that. I'm not a foolish North American. How dare you even think?
they say soccer in Japan too, Aaron. It's fine.
They do. But I want to join in with, you know, the majority of the world. We're gonna say football, or I'm gonna do my best. I'm going to do my best today. You may catch me slipping up, but I'm going to try. Yes, we've both seen Japanese, the J-League is what it's called in Japan. There's the J1 League, which is like the premier league in Japan where, you know, the top players would want to play. And then there's the J2 League, which is the league that falls right below it, with the promotion type of stuff available. We won't get too much into the nitty gritty of how all the leagues work. But both of us have seen games between those two leagues. Tell me about your experience watching football in Japan.
Every time you say football, I'm just giggling. Well, I've seen a couple J2 league team matches now. I have been drawn into supporting the special team to my heart now. Do you know what team that is?
They're based in Omiya, and you've kind of got me hooked on them as well. I mean, I don't follow them as intently as you do. It seems like you're a season ticket holder now based on how many games I've seen you go to. I'm like, holy smokes. But yeah, that's really awesome. Tell us a little bit more about your experiences this year attending those games.
Yeah, so I've been going to Omiya Ardija matches, home matches recently. I think I've been to every home match since like last year, October or something was the first one I
Oh,
went to.
wow. Lucky guy.
Yeah, they were recently bought out by Red Bull, so I guess they're now Red Bull Omiya Ardija.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense why they, I see the Red Bull just splattered over all of their marketing and their
Everything,
jerseys. Yeah.
yeah. But it's a fun team. I really, it's a J2 team. You know, kind of like a mixed bag of some Brazilian players. One of my favorite players is from Nigeria, and then some really good Japanese players. But my experience going to these matches have been, you know, like so easy and pleasurable. And we'll get into why once we've spoken to about all the different sports events and teams we follow, etc. But yeah, it's one train out of Tokyo to head up to Omiya in Saitama. The stadium is close to the station. The tickets are affordable. That's why I've been able to go to all of the home matches, because it's not gonna cost a kidney. But yeah, how about J1? Which J1 team have you watched, and how was that experience?
Yeah, the first, I guess I can say that I've been a Kashima Antlers fan in the J1. I know they're maybe the easiest team to cheer for, potentially just because their record in the J1 league has been very, very strong. I didn't really know that at the beginning. I really only started cheering for them because my wife, when she was teaching in Japan, she was based in Ibaraki Prefecture, where Kashima is, and she was just in the city right beside Kashima. In a city called Kamisu. And so, based on the proximity, they were all, everyone is Kashima Antlers fans. Never had a chance to go when I had visited her there throughout the years. But after we were doing some traveling, and based on the time of year we're there, we were like, hey, we actually can hit up a Kashima Antlers game finally after all of these years of kind of just casually watching them. And so we made the trek from Tokyo to Kashima, which I would say is not the nicest of treks to make. It was kind of annoying. I won't go into the details of how to get there. And maybe I did like the worst way possible via the trains. I'm sure there's got to be a better way. Anyways, it was fantastic. It was a bit rainy that we knew it was going to rain, so we bought ponchos, like the full like top and bottom set, just in case it was going to pour. We were like, we're going to this game no matter what.
Let's
Like you had said,
go.
tickets are affordable. And my favorite thing about that game that really got me on fire to like want to watch more games was just the crowd atmosphere was just like so energizing. And so that's what I loved, all the chants. So that was my very first J1 league. So it was Kashima Antlers versus Sanfrecce Hiroshima. Kashima went to on to win that game. So that was really fun. And then a couple years or a few years after that, when I was doing my study abroad homestay program in Nagoya, I went to a Nagoya Grampus game, and they were just so happened to be playing the Kashima Antlers, which was awesome.
Nice.
And that's where I finally
Lucky.
got. Yeah, I went to the Kashima Antlers like merch area, and that's where I bought my little scarf for my favorite player. His name is Doi Shoma, number 8. He
Nice.
doesn't play for Kashima anymore. He plays for the Yamagata Montedio team right now, so I'm kind of passively, casually cheering for Yamagata at this point since his move. So yeah, those are my two games. Always had a ton of fun. Very affordable, especially for like even when I was there the second time, I went with a few students, and they're on a student visa, they're on a student budget, but even them looking at the price of the games, transportation to and from, and then buying a ticket, they were like, oh yeah, I can make this work, and so it was
Nice.
very a very friendly event to go to for. People of all, budget types. So yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about my football viewing experiences in Japan. Very welcoming, easy to get to, and just it's just very fun to like see the raw energy that people have and all the music and chanting and the flags waving. It's just, I think everyone should, whether it's a J2 game or a J1 game, if you have any desire to watch any sports, I think you can't go wrong with a football match in Japan.
Definitely. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but you mentioned about like the good public transportation and the atmosphere and different things, but like I can't get over how, you know, good public transportation helps these experiences, because you know what I mean? It's thousands of people traveling to and from this game at the same time. And like I've gone to sports events in my own country, Jamaica, which there's no comparison really, because it's like a different type of country, but like it's like the public transportation is usually what, or transportation in general is usually what stresses me out the most. So the fact that I can jump on a train, jump off the train and walk, finish the game, and just like, you know what I mean, things function. Yes, there's traffic, and yes, it's a lot of people and it gets crowded, but it never gets to a point where you are stranded or frustrated or stuck. You know what I mean? So yeah, we can probably talk about that some more. Yeah. After football / soccer, there I said it, Aaron.
You're the only one saying yes word right now. I have yet to say it, so
I'm watching you.
I'm watching you. You've said it twice. I've got a counter.
You have some experience with another sport, spectator sport in Japan that I don't have, basketball. Tell us about your experience watching basketball in Japan.
Yeah, I think we were there. This was before Kai was born, so 2022, I guess. Yeah, it must have been 2022 or early 2023. I can't remember exactly, but I played basketball growing up. Oddly enough, I wasn't big on like watching NBA. I did pay attention to it and whatnot, but I really enjoyed playing it. Maybe just because I was at the time of my life, my focus was on like school and studying and doing my basketball extracurricular and whatever else was going on. I just didn't bother watching basketball. Obviously Canadian, I was watching hockey. But my wife really enjoys watching basketball, so I've started to watch it more. And so over the years, we've tried to go to NBA games if we traveled. And luckily, like NBA has come here with the Toronto Raptors visiting Edmonton once. We got to go to that. And the women's game came before. When the opportunity came up to go in Tokyo, we just enjoy watching sports because we find that they're quite affordable in Japan. And I think that's, we can get to that in a little bit later as well, but it's just, it's just, they make it so much easier to go. And so it's like, exactly, you don't have to worry about breaking the budget or the hassle of getting there. It's just like,
buying a ticket 2 months in advance and using your kidney as collateral.
You just exactly. Want
to go, you buy a ticket and you go. What?
Yep. Yeah, it's just nice. I think the basketball league there is called the B League. Nice and easy to remember. So we went and saw.
I'm guessing the J League was taken.
Yeah, the J League was taken. BB, they should call it the BB League, basketball league, but yeah, B League works well. I think there's a volleyball league in Japan as well. I think it's just called the V League, if I'm remembering that correctly. So I'm seeing a pattern here. A letter, space, league. call it a day. The basketball was kind of similar to what we have, a Canadian league. It's called the CEBA, Canadian Elite Basketball Association. So the league in Japan reminded me.
Should have just been C League.
It could have been the CBA. They really had to throw the elite word in there just to draw attention to the fact that, you know, these were like legit players. You can't really compare it to the NBA, of course. So that's kind of what it reminded me. Smaller scale, the gyms. The venues weren't massive. They're not playing in, at least the one venue that I went to, they weren't playing in a massive arena or anything. It was like almost like a gymnasium, but like obviously like a souped up gym where it could hold maybe 5,000 to 7,500 people. So like a decent amount of people, so but bad. It's not like crazy or anything. But still lots of fun, lots of good energy. The quality of play for me, I felt like it was great. There was actually some ex-NBA players there that I wasn't familiar with, but when they were doing the starting lineup, my wife was like, that guy's from the NBA. Now he's in Japan. Like, so it was kind of cool to see some of the players that you might be familiar with. They're playing in Japan. So you get a nice, I guess the league is worldly in the fact that players are coming from other places and they're not just Japanese players well. So you get a nice, cool dynamic. And obviously the flavor of the play is going to be different too, just because if you think about, when you think about the NBA, you think, oh, these the players are really tall, like they're like 6 feet four and above, 7 feet, whatever. So when you're looking at the Japanese league, the style of play is different. It's not like a little bit quicker. You're not seeing as many like things like dunks and stuff because just the average height is different. So it's cool to see the same sport being played slightly differently just based on like the demographics of the people playing it, right? So that's that was kind of a really cool thing to see.
Nice. You wanted to say more?
Yeah, I think going back to baseball, that baseball's definitely still on my list of sports to view. I think it's still at the top. I kind of want to go with someone, or I don't know. I feel like I need to go with someone that kind of can show me around or just be there with. And for me just to go by myself, it just wouldn't really be the same. So I'm waiting for that moment to like, yeah, go with you or, you know, get an invite from somebody else to go to baseball. So I don't have that experience, but I'm really interested to see or hear about what your thoughts of attending a baseball game in Japan is like.
Yeah, I'm like you. Maybe even worse. I knew nothing about baseball. I probably still don't understand the rules other than maybe how you get struck out. And even sometimes I'm like, that dude is on like strike seven. Why isn't he leaving? But it's an interesting part of my experience here in Japan, how I ended up watching a Hiroshima Cup match. I was teaching at a school in Shimane and the principal was actually retiring. And I think it's kind of common here for when a teacher or worker is retiring, like the whole office or those who want to go on like a little trip with that retiring person. So our trip was to Hiroshima to watch a Hiroshima Cup match, and again knew nothing about what was going on. I didn't know what to expect. Of course, I had been to sports games in New York and in Jamaica before, but this was like my first spectator sport professional sport event in Japan at that time. This was like my second year in Japan. Let me tell you that Hiroshima Cup match changed my life. The energy, the atmosphere, the chaos, the drums, the cute girls who serve you beer. Like the whole nine yards. It was just such an amazing experience. I knew very little about what was going on in the match, but I was thoroughly entertained by the chanting and the drumming and just the vibe. It's just like such a intense, almost emotional, but not like fighting or screaming or, you know, it's just like you can tell that the Hiroshima Cup fans are different. And apparently the Hiroshima Cup is one of the few baseball teams that I think is partially or I don't know, majoritarily owned by the supporters. So it's like a local team that has grown into this massive thing. And Shimane, just like you, even though Shimane is next to Hiroshima, a lot of my students, a lot of people in Shimane are Hiroshima Cup fans. So I was like, okay, let me experience this. And oh my God. I want to go back so bad. It was so good. So yeah, let's make a plan to one see a J2 league. Well, maybe by the time you get here, Omiya will be in J1. See
Ooh,
a
let's hope
J
so.
league
Yeah.
match. And we should definitely go to a Hiroshima Kart match. I didn't get a chance to when I was a student in Hirodai because, the city that I was in, I was a little bit out of the main Hiroshima city. But yeah, I would jump at the opportunity to go to a Hiroshima Kart match again. And I encourage anyone to, go see a Hiroshima Kart baseball match.
Yeah, one thing I was gonna now that you mentioned, I mean, we've been talking about the chanting that they all do, and I didn't really know this, but I was going through some chant videos for the Kashima Antlers recently, because there some of the chants are just stuck in my head ever since I went to their very first game, and so I was just chanting at home here just randomly, and my son was catching on to what I was saying, and I was like, oh, it's a song. Like, here, I'll show you the chants. And so I found someone on YouTube had made like videos of all, because every player gets their own chant. So I showed him my favorite
Definitely.
player's chant. And then I found the video of like the overall team chants and the duration of all those. And then I found videos of like a lot of the fans will show up like an hour, 2 hours before the match. And they're like practicing all of their chants with all the other fans there, so when they go in, they're all just like hyping each other up, but they're like, I don't know, warming up their vocal lines and making sure everyone knows, like, these are the chants we're going with today, or what. I don't really know how everything works, but like they'll be chanting for 2 hours before the match starts. They'll go in, sit down, and
Exactly.
then just start chanting for like, the whole match, and then do it again after the match, probably if they win or whatever. So like these guys are like, how are their throats feeling after every
Exactly.
single match? And they do this like every single game they go to. Plus, some of the fans will jump on the road and go to the away games as well, right? So you're not just doing at home games, but the dedicated fans are traveling too. So like, oh my goodness, but like the intensity is just on another level.
Every time I went to a I've gone to a Omiya match, my voice has been destroyed. But again, there are people there who are not only chanting, not only waving flags and scarves, but also jumping. I kid you not,
Yes.
for 2 hours straight, they're just going, jumping, jumping, jumping. And then the tickets that I usually get are in the home stand, so we're not where the crazy home supporters are, but we're like just above them. And
Oh,
sometimes they
okay.
turn around and scream at us to join in, and we're like, okay, fine, we'll wave. But again, they jump, they scream, they wave, they chant, they beat these giant drums that are like destroying your eardrums. But it's the experience, man, and it's so amazing.
Yeah, like just how well coordinated it is. And I remember before going to, I don't know if it was the first match or the second match for Kashima, but I was like, it must have been the second match, because the first match taught me how many chants they had for the team and then the players. And I was like, okay, there's got to be a place for me to find the chants so I could study them and learn them, so when I go to my next match, I can just join in without being like, oh, I'm kind of new here, like I just know. So yeah, there was websites, like fan created websites, where you can go and they'll just have the chants posted, so you can, obviously there's videos now that you can just listen to them, but they'll have the lyrics, so then you can memorize the lyrics, so then when the fan chants start in the game, then you can just join in without struggling to catch up. So yeah, you can take your intense supporter level to the next level very, very quickly. Memorize
Definitely.
all of
My
their team
first,
chants.
yeah, my I didn't watch any videos, but my first match or two, I was like, I don't know what's going on. I picked up on a few of them because some of them have like Western themed, how do I say, rhythms. For example, one of my favorite players, Sunday on Omiya, there's like Sunday, 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 Sunday goal, Sunday goal. And I was like, wait, that sounds like, I was like, aha,
Oh,
I've
Camellia.
got it. So So I was like, you know, and then this new season, there have been new players coming in. So they've been, you know, mentioning their names. It's just like, again, it's just a great, I feel like it's what spectator sports should be, where you go in, you don't have this mountain to climb where people are like judging you for not wearing a full suit of the jersey or knowing all the chants or choosing to sit down instead of jumping for 2 hours. I feel like you can just, you know, come in. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves and just enjoy the atmosphere and the experience. And it's like, I don't know, 2,000 yen. Like, where can you watch a excellent, safe, professional match for $20 in 2026? You know what I mean?
I
But yeah,
agree.
let's continue. You have also seen sumo. You lucky, 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 lucky bastard. I haven't seen sumo yet, but I want to go in the near future. So tell me and tell us, what should we expect when we go to a, what is a sumo, what is
Sumo
it,
match.
a sumo
I
match?
think the 1 year that we made plans, it wasn't that we made the trip around going to sumo. We just booked a trip and then looking at the calendar of events. And again, both my wife and I enjoying live sports when we can see them. I noticed, oh, the sumo is at the same time. I can't remember if it was in the spring or the fall in Tokyo. One of the two tournaments, and knew that far enough ahead, I'll be like, oh, I'll see if I can, you know, buy tickets online ahead of the game through
How
the
was the
window
process
that
getting those tickets and the cost? Just
I
quickly.
wasn't able to get the tickets online. It was like near impossible, like just sells out, and the process was not great. And yeah, by the time it was my turn, that it was just nothing available to buy. So I was like, well, that's unfortunate. But of course there's a backup where every day they allot kind of like you could say nosebleed seats. I would say like they were fine seats. My nose wasn't bleeding at all. So it was good from that perspective. But they released a
Why do they
number of
call it
the
nosebleed seats? Those that's a new term for me.
nosebleed. Okay. So usually, maybe I don't know if it's a Canadian or North American term, but when you sit really, really high in a stadium, because the elevation, I guess people could, I mean, you're not that high, but your nose can bleed, and so they would call the highest seats in the arena or stadium that have the worst view, they would call them a nosebleed seat. So that's kind of how we refer to them. So when people
Interesting.
here say, "Oh, I'm going to the hockey game," like, yeah, all I can afford are nosebleed seats. Like, it's just something that everyone, like, I just grew up saying, and you just learn to know that it means really the highest level of tickets from a viewpoint is usually they're the cheapest ones. But yeah, no, you're not getting a nosebleed. Well, I hope you're not, anyways.
But
But
I get the reference. Interesting. Professor
the
Aaron, ladies
nosebleed,
and gentlemen, teaching us
yeah.
about nosebleed seats. But yeah,
The
continue.
nosebleed seats in Tokyo they're fantastic. I have no complaints, and very affordable as well. And so when I was reading on the website, they allot, I can't remember what the number is, and maybe it changes, like is it 250 seats or something? That's the only number that comes to my head. It could be more or less than that. But if you go really, really early in the morning each day of the tournament, you can get a chance if you're far enough in line, and the line does accumulate quite quickly, that you have a chance to buy a ticket in that section of the arena. And so my
Why
wife and
didn't
I
you
got
camp
up.
out the night before? Come on, guys. Such
I
noobs.
mean, I'm not that serious about it. But what we did wake up really, really early that morning, and I think we caught like one of the first trains in the morning to get to where we needed to get. I can't even remember where the arena is in Tokyo. Forgive me,
It's all a
but
blur.
yeah, it's all a blur. But we did get in line when we were not first in line, but we were enough in line that when, you know, people were coming
Like
around that they're
100.
like, yeah, you're going to get, they give you a piece of paper that was pretty much confirming that you have the ability to buy a ticket because of your placement in line. And then you get to buy a ticket, meaning when they start allowing people to buy them, you would give them that piece of paper and then they're like, okay, just, you know, here's your, you only get one option. And at that point it's like first come, first serve, for that seat. So they're not reserved or anything. And then, yeah, then you can just stay throughout the duration of the tournament matches, that particular day. So we pretty much stayed from the beginning to the end. The beginning, nice. And I'm not so well versed in like all the terminology and everything in sumo, but the beginning matches in the earlier parts of the day were, of course, the, I want to say like the lower, yeah, the junior sumos. That's a good way of putting it. And then as the day progressed, then you can, you notice a change where it's okay, this is the, you know, the top professionals coming out and wrestling. So we had to wait a bit for that to happen, but there's food there that you can buy and that, you know, you can walk around,
can stretch you leave your legs and come back in, or are, if you're in, you're stuck.
That's a good question. We never attempted actually leaving the building. Yeah, that would be something to look into though, for sure, to see if you could actually leave and get like a stamp or a wristband so you can come back. That I do not know, because we never attempted it ourselves. We were there for the long haul. it was definitely the most affordable way to get tickets, not the easiest way, because you're not guaranteed a ticket at that point. But being able to witness sumo live and all the customs that they follow, you know, entering the ring and all of that stuff. I mean, again, I'm not very well versed on how sumo works in its entirety, but
I want to go in the future.
I think what I would change next time, or before I go next time, if I get a chance to see it again, is definitely do a little bit more reading up of like the rules, the historical significance behind some of the things that they do, like in the ceremonies. And then also understanding the different types of throws and positions that I think there's 82 different ways you can win a match, if I remember correctly.
So you have done some reading. Look at you.
Never. Yeah, I've been doing a little bit, but I haven't got to the point where I've memorized anything. So I think I would just try to do a little bit more of my own research to understand the sport a little bit more before I go. So you have some context to fall back on as the matches are progressing. But overall, if you get a chance, sumo, if you can buy tickets ahead of time and sit lower, by all means, definitely try. But at least just know in your back pocket, there's the day of tickets. If you're willing to wake up early, then you'll have a chance. But I would definitely go in a heartbeat again. I think it's a really cool thing that you can't really see to that extent outside of Japan. I know there's like sumo stuff
you'll get else in Japan only.
Yeah. So yeah, it's, yeah, take the opportunity if it arises, or create that opportunity for yourself if you think it's something you really want to go to. I think at least once for sure, you definitely got to go.
Yeah. I definitely want to go personally myself. Your experience kind of cleared up a few things for me. I thought it was like a very short 1 hour, 2 hour type thing where you just there'll be like 5 or 6 matches and then you'd be done. But now I guess I have to get myself ready to spend the entire day if necessary, but that would be a great experience, I think. But yeah, moving on from sumo, whose rules we definitely don't quite understand.
Yeah.
Sport that you definitely understand coming from the Great White North, and everyone that I know from Canada love to talk about ice hockey.
Yes, so, ice hockey.
Have you seen ice hockey in Japan?
Yeah, when I was on the JET... this was before JET program, actually. The first time I lived in Hokkaido, I found out they had the Asia Ice Hockey League. There was no such team represented in Sapporo, so I had to go to Pomakomai, which was like south along the coast. I think it was like 45, 50 minutes by like a semi-express train to get there-ish. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact duration. Walked to the arena. The arena, I just remember the arena being so cold. Like, I watch hockey here all the time, and I'll just have like a jacket on. And like, if you go to like a little local arena, they'll have like those mm-hmm. overhead like oil heaters or whatever that try to keep you warm. But generally people will bring like their own blankets and like seating mats and stuff if they're going to spend any amount of time there. But I never thought to do that because I was
like, it here first, a Canadian complaining of being cold.
Yes. In a hockey arena of all places.
When you we should need to question his citizenship, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be in touch with Canadian immigration after this podcast.
I'm getting booted out of the country very shortly. So, yeah, I walked in. It was like $10. It was like open seating, general admission, $10. I'm like, this is perfect. Like $10 to go see what's recognized over there as like their professional hockey league. That is a bargain compared to the prices that we have to pay over here.
What are the prices? Sorry again to interject.
I think what
would be a typical hockey match price for like the top professional teams?
In my city, it sometimes depends on how well the team is doing at any given time, and then also the team that they're playing. But if we want to talk about like nosebleed seats, like those highest seats that I was referring mm-hmm. to.
I know what nosebleed seats mean now.
Yeah. You can, if you're going just against like a regular team, it's probably going to cost probably $50 to $100 Canadian. If you want like gold, like executive types seats that are like, you know, rows 1 through, say 20, 15, then those are like hundreds of dollars. If you want the Lord. Like the boxes or like club seating, you know, those are like $500 plus. So yeah, it and then when playoff time comes and the team's doing really well, then those tickets are hundreds of dollars just for a nosebleed seat, and you're talking thousands of dollars for a lower bowl seat. It just gets ridiculous. The amount of money that people will throw at attending a live game, especially during playoffs to watch hockey, is just nuts. So I've never been to a playoff hockey game myself, just because the amount of money is ridiculous. And also because
I'm gathering evidence about why we should remove your Canadian citizenship. I have additional evidence on record, ladies and gentlemen. Continue to incriminate yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stop talking about hockey. But the last thing I'll say about the game there is, outside of being cold and wishing I had brought at least one blanket, if not two, I would laugh to myself, and I don't want to sound mean about it.
But
the
guys, put your ears to the speakers.
Yeah, the level of play and the amount of errors and mistakes and mm-hmm. what was being displayed on the ice compared to what I was used to back home was it was like, oh, I know why this is only $10 now. But it was still
the home yeah. of ice hockey. A 10-year-old could play on this in this league. Oh, yeah. I'm so disappointed. Where are my gear? Put me on the field.
I should have been like, I could beat these guys. No, of course I couldn't. But it was still fun to watch. I think it would be a great, very affordable to bring your family, right? And that's what it's all about. It doesn't have to be the most competitive or best version of that sport being played. As long as you enjoy it, your family enjoys it. You can go eat a hot dog, or if you're in Japan, yakisoba or some takoyaki, karage, yeah. whatever that might be. The difference in how a sport that you might know back at home is being represented in a different country and everything else associated with it is kind of what allured me to it in the first place. And it's just the experience more than what's being highlighted, and everything else that you see like on ice or on the field or whatever is just gravy in terms of like what you get to. You know, if you get to see five goals being scored and you lost your voice because the fans are going crazy and cheering, mm-hmm. But the hockey in general, in terms of the environment, has always been, I would say, more tame. And that was also on display in Japan, at least at the match that I was at. There was definitely some cheering going on, but it wasn't to the same level that you would see at a soccer match or a baseball. Oh, there I said it, soccer. All right. This podcast is over.
Got him.
Yeah, you got me. Yeah. My Canadianism came out. But it was, yeah, still super, super great. I would definitely go to another hockey match there again if the opportunity arose. So,
yeah,
that's kind of all of my live sports. Did that cover all of yours as well? Or is there anything else that was missing?
We did J1 and J2 teams that we've seen. You saw basketball. I want to see basketball, especially the Shimane Tsushino Magic one day. We talked about baseball, which we think is the biggest sport here in Japan. I saw the Hiroshima Carp. And in the future, I want us to catch a match together. We talked about sumo, which you also had a good experience after camping out early in the morning to get tickets. That's interesting. And ice hockey, which I'm not a fan of ice, but I will if I visit Canada or get the opportunity to here in Japan, I will definitely want to experience, you know, just at least watching. I don't mind watching like the highlights, and I think the game itself looks interesting. Like, you know, when, you know, they crash into each other or score interesting goals, or, you know what I mean? I don't know. I like the energy around ice hockey. So if I see it on, sometimes I'll watch it. So yeah. We also wanted to talk about some of the benefits, the good things about watching live sports, spectator sports in Japan, compared to, I guess, back home in Jamaica and in America. From my experience, we already touched on how affordable the tickets are. It's insane. Again, I spend 2,000, maybe 2,100, not more than 2,500 for tickets. When I go to my Omiya RDJ matches, and the other thing, other than just the tickets, it's also the cost of food and different things.
Yes.
Like sometimes when you go to these professional games and they know that you're trapped in a stadium, it's almost like when you're at the airport and they know you're trapped in the airport after going through security, where they'll sell you a bottle of water for $20 and other crazy outrageous prices. But the prices were, at least in my experience at Hiroshima Carp and Omiya RDJ matches, the prices aren't that different from if you literally stop by a store, a restaurant before the match to grab fries and hot dogs and stuff. It's very comparable. So affordable tickets and affordable food. What about any of the points you want to touch on before I pick another one?
Yeah, that brings me, that's such a good point, because even back home here, if it's the top league that you're going to see, the food prices are just nuts. If you're going to like some of the lower leagues or the more regional type of leagues or organizations, then generally those food prices and everything is just more affordable in general. But in Japan, I felt like, just like you said, the prices were what you would expect to pay if you were walking along a street in an arcade, or you went to a restaurant, maybe a little bit more. But one thing that I did notice that they did really well there, especially to all the football games that I went to, is they had a lot of stuff that was outside of the stadium, that they had a lot of food trucks and things set up there. So a lot of people were just hanging out and just enjoying their time outside of the stadium, and they would eat and, you know, practice their chants or whatever, and then kind of meander into the stadium, you know, shortly before the match would take place. So you get a nice variety with the food trucks, and obviously the food truck prices are just the regular prices they would charge anywhere else, and they're not inflated. So that was a nice variety. But if you wanted to see what the stadium was offering too, you didn't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to be paying, you know, three times the price for something. It was very, very affordable, and just made the whole experience just more enjoyable, and you could reflect on it and be like, oh, I would easily do that again. And I would also not hesitate to buy food there because it's affordable and it's delicious and it's different than stadium food that I get back home in Canada. And
I've been so trained to smuggle, in air quotes, my own food whenever I'm going to any type of sporting event or stadium or anything like that. Like, I'm always stopping to grab a sandwich and a mm-hmm. drink and like put it in my backpack because I'm not paying
exactly
$50 for a bottle of soda or whatever. But yeah, the matches I've been to in Japan have been cool. And it helps too, because usually when, like for you with your family, when you're going to these matches, if you have, you know, you're bringing your wife or husband and your children or friends, a group of friends are going, it can easily, you know, add up to, you know, quite a pretty penny if, you know, you have to buy tickets for 3-4 people. It's insane. But if it's just, you know, like literally going to the arcade, like I've spent more money in an evening in the arcade than I have at one of these football matches.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have as well.
yes,
easily. You have.
that's a whole other episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of kids, I also found that I can lump two of our ideas into one, where it's a very child-friendly environment and a very safe environment. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes going to some of these professional matches, it can get really intense, and you know, that's not somewhere where you'd want to bring your child or children, and you know, you probably don't feel as safe. Especially depending on which team you're playing or how the team went. But oh my God, I felt none of that at all in Japan. And I feel like it's almost an attraction for families to come out with the kids. I see them bringing like coloring books and different things to keep the kids, and I mean very young kids, entertained while the match is going on. And it's just like at no point I'm guessing that, oh my God, this child should not be here because someone's gonna, you know, fight or they're drunk or something crazy could possibly happen. And I've been to high school track and field events in Jamaica where I'm like, holy crap, I better pay attention because things could get crazy. Yeah, that was your experience quickly.
Yeah, we haven't really taken Kai to any of those. I mean, I've taken to some things here, but in terms of Japan, we haven't had the opportunity to go to any live event just yet, but that will be coming. But just being an observer of, or recollecting back on my experiences, yeah, it makes sense that I did see a lot of families bring their kids with them, as opposed to like saying, leaving them at home with their family or a babysitter or whatnot. And because that, it's child friendly because of all the things that you said, but also going back to the affordability of it all, families don't have to really have to hesitate or make a sacrifice of going, okay, well, just the adults can go because that's all we can afford, mm-hmm. because the teams and the environments and the associations that run all of the ticketing or whatever have just made enough tickets available at just very affordable prices that families can be, no, they can decide, yep, whole family can come. It's not going to break the bank. Food's affordable. Transportation's easy. It's affordable. And, you know, it's obviously still going to cost you money, but compared to other things, it's a nice time out with your family. You get to engage with the activities that they put on before the game, whether they have like the kid zones, of course, where your kids can run around and kick a football.
Second time, ladies and gentlemen, we got two soccer.
Falling apart. But yeah, they have all that fun stuff in front of the stadium or wherever beforehand. I mean, not all of it.
Shows and stuff have been quite entertaining with special like mascots and gifts. I've seen mascots giving kids gifts, and it's just such a great experience.
Mm-hmm. So I think I look forward to taking my son to some of these things too, because again, it's a good perspective of going to something that's a little bit different than what you're used to at home. But also, I don't have to worry about spending a lot of money, and it's a nice time out with family and invite some friends along. And it's one thing too, because sometimes you want to go to things and invite friends, but if things are really expensive, sometimes you kind of hold back on inviting everyone because you know, oh, it's can be a really expensive activity, and you don't want to put that, placing that decision on somebody, knowing, you know, maybe it's not appropriate depending on the level of cost of it. But with things like this being so affordable, it's easier to share it with your friends and family as just something to do, because you've looked at the cost of it and you're like, yeah, 10, 20 bucks per ticket is, you know, people are spending that all the time, whether they're going to the movies or, you know, whatever that might look like as an alternative activity. And it's very comparable to that. And so that's an easier ask of someone rather than going, oh, these tickets are, you know, $200 per person. Like, that's not something that I would just go out and randomly ask all of my friends and family to attend.
Definitely.
Right. So it's very forgiving that way in regards to just an easy invite and just getting lots of people to go and just sharing in the moment with a whole bunch of people, if it makes sense. So I'm definitely going to be seizing that opportunity as each time I go, I always look for events that make sense to go to depending on the time of year. And even other sports that I'm not so interested in. I feel like they're just growing, all of those communities in Japan, like the basketball league that we talked about, B League, and then the volleyball league. Like, I don't even watch volleyball. I don't really care about volleyball, to be honest. Like, not to say, I don't want to say anything bad about volleyball.
Here we go.
But if you like volleyball out there, that's awesome. I just never took an interest in it for whatever reason. But I want to go to a volleyball game in Japan. And why? Because it's affordable. It's something different. I can bring my friends and family to it and try something new.
There's like great hospitality. And like, I've gotten so much free stuff. Just by buying my regular ticket, I'd get like a blanket or a scarf or trading cards. Like, I feel like almost every time I go to one of these matches as well, there's always some kind of free stuff just to kind of thank you for taking the time to come out to watch the team. So that's another positive thing about the experience: free stuff and great hospitality.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to, my comment on volleyball was not, I don't know.
No, don't worry about it. I know I tease you. Come on, listeners, do not cancel Aaron. He didn't mean anything about volleyball. He meant it when he spoke about the ice hockey, but I think volleyball, he didn't mean to.
It's not that I don't care about, I just never thought about volleyball, really, because it's not ever been anything that I've, like, just been engaged with or knew anyone that engaged with it to have an interaction with. But
yeah, but the fact that it's such a great experience to watch other sports in Japan, you definitely want to watch volleyball as well, which is something you would not have considered back home in Canada or elsewhere. I get it, and I'm sure the listeners get it too. Don't worry, Aaron, we won't cancel you.
I'm not hating on volleyball. It's cool. Just came out probably wrong, but
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I think overall messaging about spectator sports in Japan is it's affordable for most, I would say, if not everyone, to engage with, you know, at least once a year if it's something that comes up with your friends group or your family. And they give you a lot of options depending on your price level. And then
if you want to get behind a team like I did,
and,
you know, like, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to follow your team throughout the season or whatever. You know, you can be a casual and go once in a while, or you can be a almost super fan like me and go to every home match. It's you know, it's possible in this sense.
Yeah, it's just a nice contrast for me, because when I think about attending some sports in Canada, it's always like, oh, it's maybe I can afford to go to one match a year, especially when it comes to like going to a ice hockey game where I live, as opposed to in Japan, it's like, I could go to multiple games a year for the same price that I would go to one game mm-hmm. back home, right? So that's kind of a really cool thing to consider. So yeah, I would implore people to, if you have any interest in a spectator sport, I think even if you don't care about the sport too much, I think the experience of going as like a cultural activity is kind of the draw for me. Cause like I said, yeah, I don't have any personal connection to say, yeah, volleyball, but I'm still willing to go and excited to go in Japan. Cause it's not just about the sport anymore. It's about engaging in a cultural activity and seeing how people in Japan engage with that sport and how, you know, how different it might be and how they interact with it in terms of like cheering and just getting engaged. And so that's kind of the piece that I really, really like.
Yeah. And so I think there's something. Volleyball is huge in Japan as well. I think it's probably in the top five sports, and the Japanese women and men's team are also quite strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. So affordable, great hospitality and free stuff, safe environment that's very child friendly and connected by usually good public transportation to and from the stadium, etc. Check out Spectator Sports if you are visiting Japan or living Japan like myself. Definitely something you should do. Want to take us out, Aaron?
Yeah, if you're on YouTube, feel free to let us know what sports you enjoy watching in person, whether that's in your home country or other sports that you've seen in Japan that you think you would like to share with us. As I said, I would love to view other sports in Japan and just engage in that activity. And I'm sure Kelroy would as well. It's always a good learning opportunity and just time to spend with friends and family. So yeah, shoot that in the comments if you're on YouTube. And yeah, if you have any questions about any of that stuff, shoot them our way. We'd always love to engage in a dialogue with you. So thanks again for taking your time to listen to our podcast today. And we'll see you next time. Mata ne.
Bye-bye.